A year ago, the United States was preoccupied with another war against Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, but the impending conflict with Iraq was already in the making. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports on events leading up to the confrontation, beginning with the end of the Persian Gulf War.
Back in April 1991, from his military post in southern Iraq, Army Major Douglas MacGregor had just witnessed a failed Shiite rebellion against Saddam Hussein's regime. The uprising was doomed because U.S. troops were under orders not to support it, just as during the ground war they'd been told not to pursue Saddam's elite Republican Guard. Speaking to NPR at the time, MacGregor tried to make sense of the policy.
Had we completely eliminated all the Republican Guard forces, then Iraq would have essentially been left without any defense whatsoever.
MacGregor said the U.S. was concerned that neighboring Syria or Iran might fill any power vacuum.
There was probably a decision made, and I certainly wasn't privileged to it, but it seems reasonable to assume a decision was made to let something survive the war.
The United Nations imposed harsh economic sanctions on Iraq, promising to lift them once the country was free of weapons of mass destruction. But for much of the next decade, Baghdad played cat and mouse with UN weapons inspectors. In 1998, ahead of U.S. and British airstrikes on Baghdad, the UN ordered its inspectors out and accused Iraq of failing to cooperate. Iraq fell to the back burner of the political agenda. In a 2000 presidential campaign debate, it was an issue with no easy answers, certainly no sweeping campaign promises.
I would hope to be able to convince people I could handle the Iraqi situation better. I mean, we don't.
With Saddam Hussein, you mean?
Yes.
And you could get him out of there?
I'd like to, of course, and I presume this administration would as well, but we don't know. There's no inspectors now in Iraq. The coalition that was in place isn't as strong as it used to be.
In fact, the coalition was collapsing along with the sanctions. In December 2000, Baghdad's airport officially reopened as a number of countries defied a decade-long air embargo. Iraq was smuggling out more and more oil and bringing in more black market goods. Talk of re-energizing the sanctions led nowhere. Then came the terror attacks of 9/11. The Washington Post has reported that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld brought up Iraq the very next day, asking if the U.S. should target Baghdad as well as Al-Qaeda in a wider war on terror. Several Bush administration aides had long advocated such a move, something the media picked up on at a press conference 1 month later.
We understand you have advisors who are urging you to go after Iraq, take out Iraq, Syria.
The president said only that his administration was watching Saddam Hussein carefully. But in November, without mentioning Iraq, he began laying the ground for wider action. Speaking at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, Mr. Bush said Afghanistan was just the beginning. The U.S. was also threatened by other terrorists and nations sponsoring them.
We will not be secure as a nation until all these threats are defeated. Across the world and across the years, we will fight these evil ones and we will win.
In January 2002, in his State of the Union address, President Bush named an axis of evil, North Korea, Iran, and Iraq. Over the summer, aides began mounting the case for preventive invasion. By the first anniversary of 9/11, the administration barely mentioned Osama bin Laden. President Bush told the United Nations that Saddam Hussein posed a threat to world peace and to UN authority.
Iraq has answered a decade of UN demands with a decade of defiance. All the world now faces a test, and the United Nations a difficult and defining moment.
The administration painstakingly worked with other Security Council members to pass Resolution 1441, demanding that Saddam Hussein disarm or face serious consequences. But diplomacy fell apart over whether the resolution really authorized war. Meanwhile, President Bush's aims in invading Iraq had grown more ambitious. This week, setting a deadline for Saddam to step down, he envisioned sweeping change for the Middle East.
We believe the Iraqi people are deserving and capable of human liberty. And when the dictator has departed, they can set an example to all the Middle East of a vital and peaceful and self-governing nation.
With such a bold agenda, President Bush clearly has dismissed the fears of chaos that restrained his father 12 years ago. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.